Good morning, still just where I am. Nice here for our week two live conversation together. I'm just going to give it a couple of minutes. I'm a couple of minutes early, so we can just give everyone a chance to hop on and then we'll get started. This is always my most awkward bit. I never know quite what to say while I'm waiting for everyone to hop on. But let me know if you can hear me and see me okay. You can just tell me in the chat box at the bottom. And then we can be ready to roll once everyone arrives. Maddie says yes. Thank you. Nice to see so many of you here. While we wait for everyone to join us, I just wanted to quickly talk about... Please make sure if there's anything you are reading or coming across in the course materials that you're unsure about or you feel like it's not quite clear or you don't totally understand, please do ask. I know sometimes our brains like to tell us that it's our fault if we don't understand something, you know, like, oh, everyone else seems fine. I must be stupid. It's like that fear of raising your hand in class and asking for help, but it is my job to help you understand. And you help me by letting me know if anything is confusing or you need more information, because then I can make sure it's clearer for the next lot of people too. So for example, in week two, if you've come across the growth versus nurture lesson, this is one that I've tweaked from the last round because I knew a couple of people got snagged on it, and someone's mentioned again in Facebook that they felt a little bit confused by it. And I think part of the problem might be where I've put it in the class, that I think perhaps I need to move it slightly later down the timeline where it might just make more sense in context. But just for anyone who maybe is feeling a little bit confused about what I mean when I say those two concepts, it's really about, as you experiment with Instagram, as you give yourself permission to play and to try different content styles and to really kind of use that scientific method we talked about in week one, what you'll find is you start to get a sense of which posts are going to be the ones that are natural growth posts for you. So for me, it's things like my window. I always know if I post a picture of that window that it's going to do well, it's going to engage my existing followers, but also going to perform well within the algorithm, so reach lots of new people and be likely to bring me new followers. So that's what I kind of see as like a growth outreach type post versus a post that maybe I've now got a sense as I post it, this probably won't do as well. Like, this probably isn't going to blow up Instagram. It's not going to go viral. That is what I call a nurture post. And what I want to encourage everyone to do is, as you start to build this formula, as you start to play around and uncover what a growth post might look like for you, don't get sucked into believing that that's the only kind of content you can do. Because we see that very often. You find something that works so well that our natural instinct is to just keep repeating it. But the problem with that is it's kind of like hot housing. It's like artificial growth. And what I see again and again is people grow more quickly when they do that, but they really tightly pigeonhole themselves. So for me, it would be only posting pictures of my window. Like, that would be a very narrow account. Not many places I can go to with that. Not much fun creatively. And if I move house, I'm totally stuffed and I can't have an Instagram account anymore. So that's kind of where I'm coming at with the growth versus nurture, but we can definitely revisit it later in the class if it starts to kind of fall into place differently as we look at the algorithm and those kind of things. Okay, we are 1 minute past the hour, so I'm gonna kick off with some of today's accounts and share my screen. Let's see if I can get this right. You guys seeing that? Give me a thumbs up if you can see my screen. Awesome, thank you, Carla. Okay, so we're gonna start with Chloe. Chloe, are you here with us? If you're here, unmute yourself so I can hear you. Haven't found a better way to do this yet in Zoom, so this is just our system. Any Chloe, you here? Okay, maybe Chloe's not with us. I'm gonna read out her question. If you appear, Chloe, just unmute yourself and say hi. She said, I've noticed that most of my posts are things and not moments when doing the audit, which may be holding me back. Although I do share a bit of background on what I've been working on relating to the photo, I'm struggling to know how to convert this, how to convert what are essentially things Hang on, the cat's going to do some typing. Let me just move her. Well, are essentially things, e.g. clay and ceramics, into moments? Are you able to help with this? Or maybe I am and I'm missing added value. I just don't know. So here are Chloe's beautiful ceramics. And I would love to hear from you guys. We're in week two now, so you're going to start to know some of the answers. How would you showcase Chloe's ceramics as a moment instead of just a thing? So moving away from that feeling of catalogue shots, Chloe, you do them beautifully, and I think they still absolutely have a place here within your feed. So I'm not saying they need to go completely, but if you want to add in more of those moments, what could they look like for Chloe? Tell me in the chat box. I will try and make sure it appears to me. So, Kathy says, oh, it's moving really fast, hang on. Sarah says, teacups being drank from, bowls with cereal, etc. Context, says Emma, or creation process, says Jessica. Her surroundings, says Michelle, looks like she's in a beautiful part of the country. Sheena says, a photo of the item being actually used. Carla says, show them in a styled setting with table linens. Carly says, her working on them. Emma says, people. Lorna says, humans using them. Sean says, customer pics. Antonia, behind the scenes would be interesting. I really hope, Chloe, that you can catch up on all of these comments, because there's more than I can read out. You guys are golden, absolutely. And how much fun could you have styling up these beautiful things? Like, you guys know I'm quite a fan of mess. I would totally have like the cereal bowl idea, whoever said that, like top down, you know, like the soggy remnants of cereal. So like just a bit left in the bowl, there's a spoon, there's like maybe a coffee cup that's empty, it's just got a bit in the bottom, and maybe like a ring on the table of the coffee. Like maybe there's a corner of a newspaper coming to shop. That's a moment. Now that might not be in keeping with your style, Chloe. That's just my style. You can totally do it more minimally. You can totally stick with your colors and really play around with that. It could be the bowl is full of water and there's just like a few blue flowers floating in it. Or it could be, you know, one of the vases and it's just got a single stem of something in it. You can play around with how it looks. But like everybody said, showing it in situ, in use, because that is what is so compelling. It's beautiful to see a piece like a bowl, a cup. It's beautiful to see the detail and let them speak for themselves in these photos. You're doing that wonderfully. But especially as the one who sells their work, you will find that one of the ways that pictures can be so powerful as a marketing tool is by selling a whole moment and then offering a tiny piece of it that people can have for themselves. So if that morning with the cereal and the coffee looks beautiful and peaceful in a way that someone can't have right now because their mornings are frantic and they're like, the kids are screaming and they're rushing out the door, then thinking, oh, but I could have a beautiful cereal bowl that could remind me to be calm for a moment would be a really powerful way for you to sell and also to actually add genuine value to people's lives. Like that's what we're about, right? We don't just want to market for the sake of it. We want to tell people how we can help. Anne says lots of tasty food in bowls. Yeah, even just like overflowing with fruit. Like you could go out at this time of year, like blackberry picking or apple picking and use the ceramics for that. Annie says, should she still keep the pictures simple? I do really like them. I think so, because I think that's your aesthetic, Chloe. And you know, your ceramics are minimal. I think it would be strange if you suddenly were like, bright floral backgrounds for these types of shots. But it's absolutely possible to still put in that lived in feeling without compromising on the minimalism. And so pretty much for all the questions I've chosen today, your homework is to go and make a Pinterest board and find examples of pictures that do that for your brand. Find examples of pictures that showcase, it doesn't have to be the same kind of product as you, but you could adapt, you know. So if someone's holding a cup and you make jewelry, you could be like, oh, I could put rings on that hand. And what we can then do is, can you just borrow those ideas, you borrow those as a setup and you recreate it with your stuff, your light, your home, your hands, and make your own piece of art from it. Antonia says, I like the occasional scenic shot, it makes me curious to know where you are in the world. I agree, I love it. I love it when an artist or a maker's feed feels like a kind of a digital scrapbook. like, you know, when you feel like you're getting a bit of their inspiration in there too, like, oh look, there's the blue and it's kind of a washed blue. Oh, and she's maybe lives near the sea, like maybe those two things go together. It feel like it gives you extra juice, extra context and connection to the pieces. Some bright colorful blackberries would look gorgeous overflowing in one of those bowls completely. I'm not sure if I say it in the course notes, but someone once said to me, in this class, I was describing moments, not things, and they were like, oh, it's like someone's just stepped out of the picture. Like someone's just stepped out of the scene, and that's how you want it to feel, like they're almost still there. And sometimes they can still be there. They can be like a hand or you're in it. But I think that's a good way to think about it. Like it's a story instead of just a thing. Oh, Graham says a bowl full of seashells. Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And like, my old fallback for all of these is cups of tea. Like if you have a bowl of seashells on its own, could be a thing. Bowl of seashells and a cup of tea, totally a moment. And I think that's because a cup of tea is very transitory. Like, you know, it's only hot for so long. It's only drinkable for so long. And so there's an implied moment whenever you have a hot drink. I think that's why. I could probably write like a whole thesis on cups of tea in Instagram photos. Sunnery says, the messy hands mid-making. I want to see clay, messy hands. Yes. Again, all of you makers, creatives, artists on here who are using your Instagram to show your work, show us the mess. It's so funny that we shy away from it. Like, it is the most engaging, beautiful thing, I think. Whenever I go into anyone's studio, like the first thing I love and take pictures of is like, you know, the artist whose desk is just a complete mash of like tiny paint splatters that have built up over like 10 years, or the brushes by the sink that are all grubby and kind of loved and used. Your tools, your mess, your work in progress, quite often we don't see the beauty in it, but try and find those outside eyes. I promise you, all of that texture and lived in a mess will be so engaging, especially on Instagram where things can feel quite sanitary and cold. That tactileness is so seductive. And for anyone who wants to know more about your work, it's like a reminder that it's handmade. It's like, yeah, this looks perfect. You get the perfect finished piece, but oh, by the way, behind the scenes, it's still very human. Suzanne says, so beautiful. She could style these and still keep the neutral palette. Neutral colored foods, linens, maybe just light pops of colors that pick up. Yes, yes, yes. I'd have to edit my mess before the photo is taken, says Helen. I know what you mean. Like, when I do photos of like, oh, look how messy my house is for Instagram, especially when Ola was younger, I'd always like move out the plastic Peppa Pig toys. I'd be like, oh, it's messy, but it's not plastic Peppa Pig messy. It's on brand messy. Toto says, trying to find beauty in my desk full of spreadsheets and Word documents. So sometimes we need a bit of artistic license, but if they're printed out, I think it's there. Can you imagine, like, top down, reams of paper, chaos, cup of tea and some hands right in the middle, making a bit of order. That's compelling and it's relatable and it would make me want to have a closer look for sure. Sundari and I are planning, actually, it'll probably be next week, we're going to fix a date to do a little live styling kind of challenge workshop with you guys. So we will tell you in advance a few props to get together and we will both talk you through how we would style a scene from scratch, like what the kind of ones we're talking about. And you can have a go in real time and snap your picture, because I thought that would be a fun way to kind of... Oh, I can hear you. Yes, we need to plan a day, but yeah. It's going to be fun. Yeah. Sundari is wonderful. She teaches this kind of for a living, so we can go way deeper with it, which will be perfect. Adrian says, please style a messy scene too. For sure, we will. I will do my usual like tea spillage, croissant crumbs, the whole works, because also that's my life. One of my textile mentors suggested once going through e.g. the John Lewis catalog and making note of everything in a certain color palette to get an idea of what to look for. So for example, what are examples of items on John Lewis that are all in this neutral palette? That's so clever. That is really clever. And while you're there, you can look at how they style things to make them look like a story. If any of you have read my book, I talk about in that, my friend and I used to rip out pictures from catalogs and send them to each other and annotate like why we wanted all the things in it, because we couldn't afford to buy them. And it was always about the story and never really about like the crappy Lara Duke dress that was in the picture. Okay, hopefully that's helpful, Chloe, and you get to watch this back. Let's move on to Emma Louise. Are you here with us, Emma? We don't have much to look at yet on Emma's account.
Emma said that she wasn't going to be around for the call, but she'd appreciate your help.
No problem. Thank you, Sundari. So she said that she started the shiny new Instagram account and she's still too scared to post anything. She said, the problem is my page is a business rather than personal account geared towards sharing useful content for others interested in learning more about the governess or governor lifestyle and ultimately encouraging people to go and buy my recently launched online course. So my product obviously isn't very visual and I'm struggling to know what images to go with. Should I be looking at purchasing stock images of children and teachers? Is that what I should be concentrating on? How do I theme it when basically it's my work life and she's signed a non-disclosure agreement, so there's not much that she can share that's going to reveal about her current role. She says, was this a terrible business decision and is Instagram the wrong platform for me? So again, chat box, give us your ideas for Emma Louise and what could be on this page. I have a lot of my own. As soon as I read this, I was like, oh my goodness, there are so many things that she could do. And none of them involve buying stock imagery, because stock imagery is great, but it does limit how much you can kind of craft your own brand and your own message and your own story. And it's also, you know, expensive, which is not always sustainable. So what I would focus on personally, Emma, is the small details of the story. So Megan's just said crafting ideas, mess, paint completely. I put craft, like cookies, even if it was like half eaten cookies and a glass of milk. That's so American, I know, but like, you know, from above, and maybe there's a little cute chubby hand coming in if that's allowed. You could have like book recommendations. These are the books I'm reading for bedtime stories. These are the books that the kids absolutely love and ask me to read over and over again. You could share games and travel games, travel advice for like stuck on a plane with a kid, kind of parenting tips and advice. You could share like even just things like abandoned toys, you know, this mess and the behind the scenes we're talking about. I don't think it needs to have kids in it. Like it can just be an abandoned fancy dress, princess dress on the floor and a magic wand, and it still tells that story of kids. Half-eaten food. Let's have a look at some of the ideas you're getting in here. Her planning her day for the day, says Jessica. Yeah, that would be so valuable. Like beautiful as a picture. Like how does that happen? Do you have like a lovely journal you do it in? But then it could even be a carousel where you also have some tips. Like if you're planning a day with kids, here's five things to think about. Alice says notebooks, clips of writing and drawing. Lorna says kids art. Yes, and if the kids aren't doing art, do some with your left hand and say they did. Photos of the aftermath of a day from Maddie, completely. Work-life balance as a governess, potentially. Yes, Emma Young says. I think there's so much meat there as well, like talking about the problems that governesses probably face, or people who are like maybe dabbling, maybe doing a bit of nannying, or babysitting and wanting to grow their business, like talking directly to the problems they face. Like, I'm trying to think what my friend struggled with. Like she being asked to do more housework than you originally signed up for, like how would you navigate that? Or problems with your accommodation, like how do you navigate that? Anything that you think, oh, that might resonate, I think could be a really rich place for you to create content from. Little scenes of outdoor activities, artsy playground pictures, swings. Yes, I was thinking like muddy wellies, little hand holding like a daisy. Gina says, when I read her question, I thought about the movie Emma. I thought about the aesthetics of the movie with her sharing tips. There you go, there's some homework then. Go and watch Emma. Games she could play with her children on rainy days, sunny days, and in winter. There will be moments in a day she could document, writing ideas in a notebook with a cup of tea, of course, because then it's a moment. Activity tips. And Kathleen says, it is personal though. If you're talking about the governess lifestyle, you'll be talking about your personal experience and professional experience. Completely. I completely agree. And that's what we talk about in this class so much, isn't it? Is that you don't want to be too glossy and corporate. And that's what stock images will give you. It's like, well, who is the human here behind the scenes? The other thing you can do if you have the time and the resources is borrow some kits, like ask your friends, especially if you want to maybe make sure you're showing a really diverse range of children, maybe children with different abilities, children from different ethnicities. You can, you know, borrow kids to put their hands into some staged craft type pictures, even like higher models. But I think there's probably tons of super rich content you can just get in your day to day without even having to think. Pens and paper, fun crafts she makes with the children, photos of your downtime, a message about what you do to take time out. Yeah, crafting ideas, so many good things here. Could you not be clever and blur out and do out of focus shots? It could be interesting to see. Yeah, like, again, get on Pinterest. There are so many creative ways that people tell the story of parenting, or, well, in your case, it's governessing, I know, but like parenting is probably going to be where most of your inspiration content can come from, telling the story without ever showing their faces or any identifying features. Obviously, talk to your employer, find out what they're okay with, but I don't think it has to be anything invasive at all. Like, you can tell just as much story with a pair of like boot, welly boot feet as you can with the whole person. You don't need to show the whole person. Jessica says, check out Laura Brand's account. She doesn't include her kids with Russell Brand, but it's all the activities. And Graham says, for captions, ask herself when she wished, what she wished she had known before becoming a governess, and use that as the value for people considering it as a career. Completely. Because the pictures is half of it, right? You want to tell the story. You want to show that you know what you're talking about and also grab the attention of people who are interested in this kind of content. And then the second half is going to be the value you deliver ahead of time through this content, so that people feel the trust they need to then come by your course. But we will get to that in a later week. So hopefully that's given you something to work on, Emma. No excuses, no more hiding and being too scared. You've got tons to work with. And remember, guys, when it's a brand new account and no one's watching, it is the freest time. You can experiment, you can play, you can mess up, and nobody's watching. So enjoy it, go to town. Okay, Sophie. Sophie, are you here?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can, hi.
You all right?
To tell us about your question.
Okay, so we bought our house maybe 2 years ago, and slowly we've been trying to renovate it and decorate everything and just get it how we want it, basically make it into a home. But it's taken so long. And like, there's holes in walls, there's old carpets that need ripping up, it's expensive. So we're getting there slowly, but I sell prints, and I kind of want to put the prints on a nice shelf or in a nice styled room, but I just feel like I can't because the grubby carpet is there, or I need to hide the paint swatches that we've done on the wall, you know, the wallpaper that we've pulled off. I just don't know how to do it. So my question is, how do I fake it until we have done the house completely?
Well, so I'm interested to know, do you think your customers all already have perfect houses?
I don't know, maybe not, but then I think if they're buying the prints, maybe they've finished the room and they want to style it, they want to see how it would look in a finished room.
Maybe. I can imagine that's definitely part of your customer base. But could there be an audience as well who you could say, hey, like, maybe you kind of hate where your house is at right now, but you can still have something nice on your wall that makes you happy?
Yeah. Yeah, I never thought of it that way.
I think it could be really fun to play around with showing them in an imperfect home. Firstly, because probably what is imperfect to you is not that imperfect to everybody else. Like, you know, we're always so much more critical of our own spaces.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Like, you'll notice the carpet, but I reckon most people would not go, oh my God, like, can you believe she posted that carpet on Instagram? Most people won't even notice it. And like, paint swatches on the wall, that feels like it could go really well on here to me, because you've got that, you know, it's artistic, it's kind of, you've got the, like this one here, it's like, that's paint swatchy already, like it's part of your branding almost. Yes. And it's so relatable, like you're then connecting with people who are decorating, who are thinking about their interiors, who are thinking about how they want their rooms to look. And to me, that sounds like your customers, that sounds like a really great place for you to position yourself in the market to say, oh, your room's not ready yet either. Neither is mine, but what I have decided on is my prints. How about you buy some too?
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense completely. Definitely, because I think sometimes on Instagram, I do personally, I don't know about other people, but I kind of like, I get a bit jealous that these people can decorate their entire house in one go. And I'm like, I can't afford to do that. Yeah. I need to just do like one room at a time, and it's probably going to take me months to do that.
And there'll be so many people who want to see that represented, right? If you're missing it and you're thinking, God, I wish someone could just show how it really is, when you don't have like a gazillion pounds to just drop and move out while someone does it for you.
That's it. Yeah, like, how to do it.
I think there's so much amazing story to be told, and like, hey, like, this is where we're up to with this room, and I've designed this print with how I want it to look in mind, or like, you know, I'm gonna, when it's finished, this is picture's gonna go on the wall, but I've stuck it here for now so I can picture how it's gonna be, because all I can see at the moment is the carpet, you know, kind of play around with that. Like, if you really do want to fake it, like, this is just my idea and I don't want you to feel like you have to do what I say, then you absolutely can, like, either go to a friend's house who's got finished rooms. You can, like, you know, those mock-ups you can buy that, like, you can literally just kind of drop your prints into to show them in that glossy environment. I know some people even hire like an Airbnb for a day and just take all their stuff and shoot it there. But I want to challenge you to just think about it slightly differently, because I think the problem with that is it can feel quite cold. It can feel quite cataloguey. Like, you can tell it's not real. And it sounds,
I do
like
want to be relatable.
Yeah, right? You, and like, your story is relatable. This is gold and you're not using it. And I would be much more likely to click on a picture that showed a print on a wall with like some messy paint swatches, and I'd be like, oh, what's going on here, than a print on a beautiful, cold, pristine house that I can't really relate to.
Yeah, no, I get that completely. So kind of make it a bit more relatable, a bit more down to earth, not like I've spent, like, gone to an Airbnb and kind of, you know, a big fancy place and put all my prints in there, and it's kind of like out of what I do, you know, it's not me.
Like, maybe just give yourself permission to try it, and if you hate it, then that's completely fine. But, you know, for a lot of people, the house you have will be the dream, and they don't have it yet. So while you're kind of stuck in this mindset, oh, it's not perfect, they'll be like, I just wish I could have a beautiful big Victorian house.
And I think this is because it's our first bought home as well, so I've kind of got permission to go and put a hole in the wall or do that. So I'm kind of like, oh, I've got all these ideas, but actually I don't have a landlord now, and when the roof breaks I need to fix it, so I need to be steady about what I spend.
Pluses and minuses, but that, I mean, it's up to you how much you want to talk about that, but I think it sounds to me like the people who care about interiors are going to be your customers, because that's who buys stuff for their walls. You sell cards and things as well, but like, if that's how you want to showcase them, I think that's a really great way to start. I want to direct you to the chat box as well, because you've got some amazing suggestions and comments in there. Like, I think a straight on pick of a beautiful print on an absolute wreck of a wall is probably the most photogenic thing ever. Yes, like, people sell vinyl backdrops of crazy mess walls because we love that. We love the texture and we love like the story that it gives us, versus like just a perfect pristine wall is kind of done, right? Sundari says, there's a great doing of a house account I follow. So she said it's semi-finished. It's visually lovely, but they have a picture of baked beans on the new range cooker. And Eleanor says, yeah, you can always use a backdrop, like a painted or a textured board. You can definitely buy that. And maybe you decide to do a mixture of the two. Like, it's completely up to you. Photos like that would make me stop scrolling. I tend to tune out from all the Insta-worthy images. Yeah, because it's not real, right? And we're like, oh, it's like when you buy an interiors magazine. I've had my house shot a few times for interiors magazines, and they take all of your crap and put it behind the camera and then shoot your room. And you're like, well, it's beautiful, but it's not real. Like, have you noticed there's never a toilet in an interior shoot? Where do they pee? Oh, Sam says you could ask people what color swatch they think you should use and get people involved and do a poll. Yes.
Oh yeah, that could be good for engagement as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Anya says there are always beautiful places to picture your artwork. Try to look with different eyes to spaces and walls. We've been renovating for years and I know where she's getting from, but there are always corners which are lovely to share. Jessica says we're doing our flat on a budget, so very relatable. Anna says you've got a lot of writing on your account, so showing some of the redecorating would be more moments on your grid. Yeah, I think it would be a really easy way to bring those moments in. Because it again, it has that like real time feel, because you're like, oh, okay, they're like mid painting in this room. I'm a printmaker and I'm about to make a cross country move to a home that needs a lot of renovation. So this is valuable advice for me too. Marie says mock-ups are great to show prints in finished rooms. You can get them on Creative Market and Etsy or even for free. They're not all perfect. Boho mock-ups tend to show slightly less styled rooms. Yeah, that's another option. So you could even do like, you know, you could put it on like here, reality, and here's my like imperfect room and it's on the wall. And then it could be a swipe, like a carousel to one of those perfect Creative Market rooms and be like, you know, dream, or like Instagram/reality. Like you could play around with that.
Yeah, that's a brilliant idea. Thank you.
Have a good read of all the comments. There's so many. I can't even get through them all. These guys are.
I'm going to take loads of notes.
And then let us know when you've done some. Like, I make sure you post in the Facebook group so I don't miss what you've done, and we can all come and give you some support for it as well.
I will do. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Have a good day. Okay, let's see who's next. Eleanor, are you with us? Oh, you're here. I wasn't sure what time it was.
Yeah. Oh, it's after dinner, yeah.
Ah, okay, so nighttime almost.
Yeah, it's
you
nighttime.
Tell everyone about your question.
All right, I recently started selling my products, so I'm struggling thinking how to make it more personal touch in it. Previously I think it's not niche enough, but then I was being advised that I should focus like what am I trying to add values, what are the things that I'm doing, so that it's not like too wide. But then coming to this course, I kind of like how you bring the moments into it, which I struggle in bringing out, like how I think previous, if you scroll back, you can see it's all over, like, because I enjoy like painting. I like discovering new painting techniques, all this. So I've been exploring lots of stuff. Like, I like to do patterns, but I don't know how to put it in. Yeah, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, well, I think you have all the skills. Like, it's all here. It's just bringing it together and finding a way that
it's all over. I'm like, how am I supposed to? I don't know, does it happen to all creative people? It's like, you want to do so many things, I don't know how to cut. Like,
yeah. And we're like, oh, I found a way to narrow my creativity, and then our creativity is like whack-a-mole. It's like, no, I'm over here. Do this. So, if you want to, there are tons of ways you can make moments with your work instead of like these things. Mm-hmm. You do these beautifully, so I'm not saying stop doing these, but I think you could definitely mix in like pictures of you working, even if that's just your hands, like whatever you wanted to share. Again, pictures of the mess, like pictures of what you use. Is it pens? Is it paints? Like right now, I don't know. You could show me.
Yeah.
Whatever is on the wall behind you right now, amazing. Get a picture of that on your Instagram.
Oh, thank you.
It's beautiful. Like look around and find all of the things that tell the story of your work. Like you get to choose how personal you go, but adding the behind the scenes and the story, it just means that we can connect with you as the creator as well as with your work, because they go together. I made some notes, like you could do things like somebody opening a card, and like you could have you know, like a cup of coffee and the envelope's torn open and the card is there, or someone's writing in the card, someone sticking it up on the wall, like all the things. It's like someone's got like a book that they're reading outside, and like the card is inside is like a little notebook, bookmark to keep the page.
Yep.
There's some really great suggestions. Emma says a time lapse of your creation process. Yes, anyone who does anything visual, time lapses are so great. Literally, like, you just need to get your phone and like stick it above you. I sometimes just use tape, like masking tape, to stick it to the ceiling, set the time lapse up, and then you can just get on with your work. You're not thinking about photos the whole time. But when you're done, you've got this like amazing little video that shows you taking a blank page and creating something beautiful.
All right. Okay. Okay. Sounds good. But I have a question that actually, I think your week two homework, you did mention like you have like a grid, it's either landscape or this, but let's say if I wanted to do patterns, how do I even incorporate in it? Are these all these categorized under products or yeah, if you get what I mean, yeah.
So how would you introduce,
like, if I'm doing like patterns,
different kinds of pictures? Well, we get to that next week.
All right, but as in like, because like all these patterns, the designs that I do, I think it's categorized under products, right? But then I think that the grid that you have is that you need to have like moments at landscape, like something more personal to balance it out, instead of like product should be only one item instead of the whole fit. Like there's not much, it can look quite salesy. So I think I will need to improve to bring it more personal into it, like include more BTS behind the scene or this.
Yeah, so the patterns, like the things that you've lined the envelopes with. And do you create them on paper? Do you create them digitally?
Yeah, actually all these are some digitally, but most of the items I created is from hand drawn and bring it over. So I have a problem, I always forgot to record it. So once I'm done, like, oh no. Okay, so I don't have any evidence to track.
Well, I think like actually the patterns could be so fun for you to play with in different ways. Like if you were able to get them printed onto paper, there are some companies that will even print them onto like wrapping paper for you. Because then you could do all sorts. You could wrap a gift. And like you're not selling, you're not saying buy my, it's not a product shop, it's not something you're gonna sell, but it's gonna keep it really on brand and tell your story because you designed that print. You could wrap a notebook in it and like cover your notebook in it and then do pictures of you, you know, just out and about with your notebook. You could stick it on the wall, like cover a piece of wall with it, and then take selfies in front of it, or like, you know, your morning coffee in front of it. Like I think there's so much fun stuff you could do because the patterns are so you.
Yeah.
Like,
all right.
You could get it printed onto a cushion and put it on your sofa, or like all the things.
Yeah. All right. I will produce more stuff in order to make it.
Yeah. And they don't have to be for sale. They can just be for you. But then you get to kind of like have fun with it. It sounds like it could be really fun. You've got some great suggestions in the chat box, some recommendations of accounts to check out. I love the images where we see your hands and paintbrush. If you have any sketchbooks or drawings lying around, have a sketchbook, just a video of you turning the pages so people can look. Just slowly going through it, you have no idea how exciting that is to someone like me who's a rubbish drawer.
Right, thank you so much.
Does that help? Give me something to play with. Yes, I have no doubt you're going to do it beautifully. So it's just coming up with ideas. Go make a Pinterest board of all the different things you could do and go and have fun.
All right, thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you,
Eleanor. Appreciate all the feedbacks and help. Thank you.
Okay, Lauren, are you here with us today?
Hi.
Tell everyone about your question.
Yeah, so my question was about, doing art, I always, similar to what Eleanor was just saying, I always forget to take photos and like videos throughout. It kind of almost is in the back of my mind where I'm like, I don't want to be stressed thinking about it. I'd rather just paint and do the art. So that's kind of my question was mainly like, do you recommend that you kind of set days aside where maybe you take lots of photos all in that day, so you have a lot of photos ready to post throughout the month? Or should it really be like in the moment pick up your phone and just kind of like, how do you get around the anxiety of feeling like you have to take photos and document everything? Because I always feel like it's in the back of my mind and I just want to turn it off sometimes. Why? Yeah, and also how much, oh sorry.
Sorry, no, it's a bit of a delay, sorry.
I was just gonna say, and also like how, if you do think, if we should have like batch photos ready to post throughout the month, like how many photos should we have ready in advance so we're not having to like stress and run around taking photos to post?
So we look at batching in more detail, I think it's next week or week four. I move stuff around all the time and then I can't remember. So we'll definitely get to more of that. But I wanted to make sure we talked about this week because I think it is also about like the act of taking photos and setting up a scene. I'm really curious to know, like you said in your question, you're thinking I should take a photo or a video of me doing this on Instagram and that causes anxiety. Why?
I think it's just because I have a high standard on what kind of photos I want to take. I almost see that as like another creative thing to be doing on top of the creative thing I'm already doing. And it's, yeah, I don't know. I personally would love it to just be like, pick up my phone, take a photo, done. But I feel like it's like, I have to spend so much more time, like get the lighting correct and make sure that like the background kind of fits. And like, I've got the, I don't know, I'm like doing it from the right angle. Like I add all these extra pressures on top of doing it rather than just being able to paint something and just get it done. Yeah. Kind of slows things down a bit.
That's what I thought, because it doesn't have to be an anxious experience, right? Like if you're painting,
I know,
and you step back and you go, oh, that's cute, and then carry on painting.
I just need to do it more like that, less stress on myself.
But it's, you'll need a different thought in order to feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
The thought you're coming to is like, I have to get this content and it has to be perfect or Instagram worthy.
Yeah. Or I have to get enough of it, because once I finish painting, I can't go back and re-document it. Right. And that's kind of where I afterwards, I'm like, oh, I wish I'd taken a video of this, or I wish I'd done that. And I'm just wondering, is it like a routine for you? Do you kind of think, oh, if I'm doing something, actually, I'm going to think about taking photos here? Like, is that kind of more how I need to go into it?
That's how I do it. And I go at it very much with like quite a loose grasp of it. So what I mean by that is like, if they work out, amazing. If they don't work out, no big deal. Because I think that's where you're tripping up, is like you're thinking, and they have to be perfect. And if they're not, terrible things will happen and I'll probably die. That's where our brain is.
Or it's just like, I spent all that time trying to take photos when I could have just been painting more. Like,
yeah,
it's that taking that time out of my art practice to give to documenting it. Yeah, I think it is
taking so much time is not because you want pictures for Instagram, but because you think they have to be perfect.
Yeah, I think that's definitely it. Yeah, maybe I just need to start getting into the routine of taking photos. If they work, they work. If they don't, they don't.
Yeah. And so often, like, I will take pictures and think they don't work and then come back to them like a month later and be like, that's amazing. Why haven't I posted it? Oh, you're like, oh, it's not really worked, but I'll make do and I'll put it on Instagram, and it explodes. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, maybe I'm not a very good judge of my own work, actually.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's like, yeah, sometimes it's just nice to hear it from someone else when you're like, I know that's probably why I'm stressing about this, but yeah. And I think it is just getting into a routine, and I just find it hard because I'm always painting in different spaces and it's not always the same place. So it's not like I can always have my phone or whatever set up in the same place. I kind of have to think about it a bit more.
Yeah.
But like, maybe a bit more relaxed.
Maybe that's perfect, because it means that if it doesn't work out one time, it probably will the next, because it'll be different.
Yeah.
You're not wrestling.
No, that's great.
And like, there's absolutely things you can do that will make it easier. Like, you could buy yourself a great little phone tripod, or mm-hmm. like, you know, you could buy yourself a little, I don't know, like a ring light or something if you wanted mm-hmm. to kind of prevent shadows, or, you know, the stuff you could play around with in your kind of kit to change if there's specific problems. But I think it's really comes down to, like, you know, that the gap quote that was right at the beginning, like the way to get really good at taking the pictures you want to take is to take a shit ton of pictures, and for some of them to be rubbish, and for some of them to be okay, and for some of them to be amazing. And your brain is like, we need to avoid that bit and go straight to getting them perfect.
Perfect every time. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's where I'm just like overwhelmed. Yeah.
And you're like, well, they're not perfect. Obviously, I need more time obsessing over this.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, oh, okay, well, they're good enough. They're perfect for today. And tomorrow they'll be even a bit better. And you'll gradually get to know every single spot where you paint and every single problem that you could encounter and all of your favorite angles, so that you'll be like me and you'll literally just be like, psh.
The more I do it, the more I know, oh, that's a good angle, this is a better time of day, rather than just not doing it at all and stressing over it and not doing it. No, that's great. I'm just going to take so many photos then.
Take all the photos. If your camera roll, let me tell you how many's on my camera roll so you'll feel better. Where does it tell you? Albums. Oh, it's so many, it doesn't even tell you. 99,436.
I love that. This is also, I've got the oldest phone and it's constantly full, and that stresses me out because I'm like, I have to remove all the photos to take more photos. So I'm like, maybe it's get a phone with more storage.
Business expense, completely. Honestly, I was the same for so long. And then you go back and delete stuff to make space and you're like, maybe
it doesn't make space.
And you're deleting all your apps.
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly me. And then I'm sitting there while I'm meant to be painting, deleting stuff to get more space. So yeah, I think that's an issue I need to change. So yeah.
And if you had a work phone, like, you could set that up behind you to do a time lapse. You've still got your own phone to like play music on.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You don't even need to think about it. And then
I think that's right. Yeah. That's great. Thank you so much. I am going to be taking lots of photos.
As always, there's so much helpful stuff popping up in the chat box for you. So do make sure you read it.
Thank you, everyone. I'll take a look. Thanks.
Save afterwards. Looking forward to seeing all your pictures. I want to know, everyone tell me in the chat box how many photos you have on your camera roll. I bet no one's got more than me. What happens when I go past 99,000? I don't even know if there's space for it to tell me I've got more than that. 28K. Jenny has 46,000. You guys are lightweights. Come on, take some more pictures. Sarah, 4,000. What? This is amazing. 545, says Jenny, but she's got a new phone. We'll let you off. Lauren says 415 and my phone is full. No. Oh my goodness, no. Mary says, I try to keep under 200 at a time. I am in awe of these organized people. Like, I would love to be like you, Mary. It's never going to happen. I even have, let me look, 212 unread text messages. This is me. Right, hang on, I'm going to plug in and we're going to talk about Emma Jones for the last one. Just one second, because my battery is going to die. Oh, did I close my screen? Sorry, it's no good. Emma. Share that again. Says it's failing to start. Let's try again. Nope. There we go. Can you guys see Emma's account? Thumbs up if you can, because I can see you on camera. Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Emma, are you here with us? Can't hear her. I'm assuming you're UK based on your artwork. Did I hear you?
Yep.
Hi.
Hiya, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Not too bad. The question was just about separating out your actual artwork from your style and your colours. So obviously you can select sort of styles and things for Instagram, but separating the good photography from the good artwork is, I found, quite difficult. So when I go to other accounts that I like, then I find I'm liking the artwork, but it's not necessarily the photography. So how do I change my mindset so I'm not just thinking about if a post is good because the art is good or bad? It's actually, there's more to it than that. So I think we have kind of covered similar themes today, but I just wondered what your thoughts on that were.
Yeah, well, so I made some little notes on this because we are going to get to sort of planning and scheduling in the coming weeks, which I think will be really helpful for anyone who struggles with this. If you imagine, like, you can have all of your pictures in a batch somewhere and you get to choose how you arrange them so they sit side by side. I think that might be part of what you were talking about with the colours. That might help with that. So you don't feel like you're having to constrain the colours in your artwork just for Instagram, which would be completely the wrong way around.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you mean? Or is it more kind of about the style of your photos versus the style of your work?
No, I think the first, so it was kind of, you obviously you want a feed that looks quite coherent and consistent, and that's one thing when I look at mine I think, oh my god, it's just like all over the place, you know, because, and my artwork tends to be a bit all over the place as well, so I don't necessarily stick to the same themes. So I guess it's, should, well, I suppose, should you be sticking to similar themes in your art? Is that better, or how can you bring them together with your photography so they do look like it's from the same person, if you, yeah, see what I mean? And somebody looks at your feed and thinks, oh well, that's, you know, that's a style on Instagram, but your art's not necessarily all the same.
Got it. Yes. Yeah. I don't think you should use Instagram as a reason to constrain your creative process. I don't think that will serve you. So no, don't feel like you have to only do one kind of like art, or like one kind of
flowers and that's it or something.
Yeah, that's it. You're only allowed to use blue, never any other colours. What I think will serve you so well is working on your white balance, which we're going to talk about more next week. But like, can you see how, sometimes I struggle to illustrate this, like these pictures here are taken, this feels like it might have been taken under artificial light. Like slightly,
yes, I think it was, yeah,
a yellowish tone.
Yeah.
Versus like some of these are much more like natural white. Some, uh-huh, of them, like, and it's varying between them. So what I would recommend, and we'll dig into it next week, but it's just a question of either changing your editing or trying to make sure you take your pictures in consistent light. Mm-hmm. That will have a huge impact. And the other thing that I think will really help you is your angles. So can you see how? This is another one I struggle to put into words. Like, this is a really classic Instagram, top down. Mm-hmm. We are, the camera is like parallel to the artwork.
Yeah.
Here's your camera, here's your artwork. That works really well on Instagram because it's grids, it's straight lines. We love to see that. What throws things off a bit more is these kind of angles where you're more kind of here.
Yeah.
And it's such a small distinction, but what happens when you have quite a lot of that within your feed is the person is almost like a bit seasick. They're like coming at it from different angles. And yeah, when you look at those feeds of the artists who go to some pages where you admire, and you'll probably spot that they're all very consistent in the angle of the camera in relation to the artwork.
Uh-huh.
That just gives it that really kind of level feel. And the white balance is the same thing. It brings it, it harmonizes it together. Mm-hmm. The other thing that is a really easy win for artists who are struggling with this is to pick like one or two really consistent backgrounds where you can shoot your work. So like, say you've got like a pink table where you work and it has like beautiful spattering on it. Like, this is my romanticized version of your studio. Mm-hmm. Based on the shelf behind you, I feel
like. I really like that.
and you just, every time you have a piece of art that you want to share, you stick it on that background, you get parallel to it with your phone or your camera, and you shoot it. And you could maybe have like, you know, the grass is great, you could have like an indoor one, an outdoor one, you could have a couple of different colored ones, and then you've got the option of dropping those in. And we'll look at, when we look at planning, like how to make an order so that it feels really rhythmic through your gallery, mm-hmm, without you having to think about it too much. Definitely still show the close-ups and the scans because they do so well, and like we want to see the detail in your work, but you can play around with like maybe do it on a carousel, which is when it's like you can swipe to see more posts. So the cover post could be it framed on the backdrop that fits with the other pictures in your feed, but if we swipe we can get a really close look at some of the detail. And the great thing about carousel posts is if someone follows you, it will show them, first of all, in their home feed, the cover post, the one that's like the first one they see. But if they don't engage with it, if they don't click like or leave a comment, it will show them the second one, like the next time they log in as like a second shot. Oh, so you can quite often kind of double your engagement by playing mm-hmm. around with those. So they'll see both. You're not hiding one or the other, but it could just be a way for you to play around with that consistency. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. I think my studio, I'm a printmaker, and my studio is, it's a lovely space, but it's got sort of a window light, which is
from above.
It's quite difficult. I find it quite difficult to get angles and things, especially I like to show like work in progress and stuff, but it's, the light is a bit hit and miss. So it makes it a bit difficult to, and I quite often work in the evenings as well. So it's, so it's about planning a bit better, I think maybe so.
Yeah, and I think maybe just finding a few hacks that work for you, like maybe you need like a daylight simulation lamp that you just flip on when you're going to take a picture, you know, with one of those like blue bulbs in, or maybe you just change your editing for an evening shots to bring them back in line. It's totally possible. Yes. And I think like figuring out a way, like work in progress and you at work, so good. Please don't stop doing that. And I totally get, like, you're like, I need to position my phone, I need to do the work, I need to check it's filming. Those angles are really hard, especially if there's not another person there for you to just command. So maybe just investing in some kind of tripod, or like I said, like masking tape is amazing. You can masking tape your phone to pretty much anything and get the angles you want. Yeah. Once you find that setup, like right now it probably sounds labor intensive, but once you find a couple of things that allow you to consistently create the content you want to create, if you're always in the same spot, then I think you'll be able to kind of let go of that worry and just go back to enjoying the creation and stop worrying about them being perfect.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So finding a consistent spot is a good idea.
Yeah.
I used to have some of my sons coming into film, but they weren't very consistent either. So.
No, it takes a lot of training to get someone to like.
Right, but it doesn't always work, so.
No, I always say I'm going to do like a training program for Instagram husbands, you know, like for everyone who's got a boyfriend or a girlfriend who, like, you're like, no, down a bit. Like, that's what we need. Does that help, Emma? Does that sort of give you something to be working on?
Yeah, it has. I suppose the only one thing to add is I tend to do a lot of kind of sketching on location and stuff. So would that tie in with more standard shots? So for example, I'll go to a cafe and sketch there and try and take it kind of while I'm there and stuff. Do you recommend not doing that because it'll be inconsistent, or?
No, I think absolutely, like, play with that. That sounds like amazing content. You might even find like a really great, I would try and find a specific shot that you can recreate in all of those locations. So, you know, like, I'm kind of picturing, like, you imagine, I don't know how I can kind of, like, you know, like just your hand holding up the sketch, and then around it we can see the context of like the cafe or the beach. Is that, I'm not describing it very well, but like,
I kind of know what you mean. So if you, it's the same within the studio, if you kind of standardize them and roughly know what you're doing, then they're going to look more consistent.
Exactly. And then it won't matter that the content on the page and the content of the background is different every time, mm-hmm. because if every other post, or you know, every fourth post or something on here is your hand holding an open sketchbook with art on it and a background, that is the consistency, and the colours don't have to be the thing that bring it together.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for that. That's really useful.
Have fun. I can't wait to see them. Make sure you share, don't you?
Thanks.
And do check the chat box. I totally neglected to read any of those out to you, so hopefully you get a chance to look at them before we're done. Thank you, Emma. Okay, that's everyone I have for you today. If I've not got to your question, it is because we are going to be covering what you've asked about in the coming weeks. So I think hopefully you will have your question answered by the course material, but if not, always make sure you can come back and ask. You can ask in a teachable comment, you can ask on Facebook, or you can submit for one of these live chats with all of us. Thank you so much to everyone, especially for all of your amazing suggestions, contributions and help in the chat box. It's just so amazing. Like, I can tell people what I think, but this is where the real magic happens, because we get to crowdsource, we get to kind of check out ideas with all different minds and pull it all together, and I think it's incredible. So thank you all, have an amazing rest of your day, and I'll see you in the group. Mwah. Hang on, it's gonna take me ages to close it now.